like this. Welcome back to Daniel Gucci and DL Debate. Le Misha, Brendan, Udavnia and Shaw. Welcome everyone to the DL Debate. Thanks so much for listening. Now on Highland Radio or back via the podcast. I want to thank Kenneth for producing here today on the show. We're going to wrap up all the weekend's action shortly with one of our 92 heroes, Tony Boyle. We're also going to be joined by Tyrone legend and All-Ireland winner Ronan McNamee, as we also build up to the big game at the weekend of the first game of the All-Ireland series. Donegal, welcome to Tyrone. We're going to hear a bit then from hurling boss Mickey McCann after his side's brilliant victory over Meath at the weekend. Liam McKinney hitting the magical 16 points. And, you know, we've had a tough time against Meath this last number of occasions we played them, but such is the growth in this Donegal team. We come out on the right side of that and finishing off the Christy Ring Cup in style. And of course, we're in the Christy Ring again next year. It's a first year in year, and that was the big aiming point, was to stay in the Christy Ring. So well done to Mickey and the lads. We'll get a few words from him shortly. He caught up with Kieran Cannon after the game. Then after that, we're going to hear from former Donegal coach, and he's been a coach at club level and all around the country. He's currently up in Dublin. It's Achille Beggs native Joe McBertie. So we'll be catching up with Joe later in the show. But I'd say first to look back at the weekend's action and ahead to Tyrone, we're going to be joined by Tony Boyle and Ronan McNamee. Ronan and Tony, welcome to the show. How are you getting on, lads?
All good, Benny.
Tony, before we get into any football talk, bit of good news in the Boyle household. Yeah, was there a bit of head wetting and what have you at the weekend?
Yeah, busy weekend. Benny, my oldest girl, Zaria, had a wee baby boy on Saturday morning, so she's made me a granddad, so just getting used to that term at the minute, but all good, and hopefully getting back home today. So a lot of excitement around the place.
Aye, great news, Tony. Listen, massive congrats. No doubt you'll be a good granddad, and it's 100%. That's going to be a hard wee term to get the head around for a while, is it?
No, absolutely. But you come to that stage of your life. I think that's always the next step. So yes. Listen, looking forward to them getting them home later on today.
Good man. Great stuff. Listen, as I was away at the weekend, Colin Parkinson actually got married out in Spain. So I was just checking results and what we thought might happen at the weekend. Certainly there was a few, I don't know if you call them shocks, but certainly games that you weren't expecting. Ronan, were you out and about? I still have to get the old Sunday game and the game player. I've just been reading newspapers. People were texting me. Out there, a couple of, let me see, Dublin Galway. Not many people were going to call a victory for Dublin, and certainly not many people were going to call a victory for Cavan, Mayo.
No, absolutely not, especially the Cavan game. I think everybody was sort of writing Dublin off a wee bit, one off the Meath game especially, but the typical of them, they're never really away, are they? And they probably had a show their teeth a wee bit at the weekend. Salt Hill's not an easy place to go to for any team, so gives me a bit of hope thinking about Tyrone going into the Lions' Den this weekend, to be brutally honest, because they would have been in the same position that Tyrone are in this weekend, so looking forward to Saturday.
Listen, it's going to be a big one. Tony, what did you think of that? You know, you look at, obviously, Tyrone in terms of how they competed, how they had Armagh beaten. You know, they're up there with every other top side there. And Dublin, you know, competed well against the top teams in the league. Sure, they had an iffy Leinster against Wicklow. And then they had one of those games that had to happen with Meath, no more than maybe Mayo raising it playing Galway. And that, is it hard to get a read in the teams now, Tony? Because those were definitely two performances we didn't see coming in terms of the games that had gone previous to that. Because, as Ronan was saying, Cavan were really poor against Tyrone that day in Healy Park. I was up at it. So, listen, there's been a bit of a, I suppose, response from the two teams in terms of these opening games of the Ireland series.
Yeah, absolutely, Benny. Like, if you look at the results over the weekend, only Kerry that were in a provincial final were the only team that won. You know, Clare were beat, Mayo were beat, Galway were beat, all the other three teams that played in the provincial final, you know. So, you know, the teams that are knocked out early and the provincial title, depending on probably sort of the way they go out of the competition, you know, if you know, they have them couple of weeks to get gathered up again and get focused. And it's really two different competitions, you know, and that's the thing sort of I don't like about it, because, you know, Donegal had no real advantage for winning a very tough Ulster Championship. You know, they're safe, you know, they're out of the pan into the fire, really, you know, because it is a tough group. And as you said, nobody expected Cavan to go down and beat Mayo. You know, I think everyone was going to be focused on possibly, you know, the Cavan game and our group, you know, deemed as possibly the weakest side, but now they're in the driving seat, you know. And I'm sure, I remember saying it at the time, I would think Malachy was probably happy enough on the performance that Tyrone put up against Armagh, you know, on another day they could have sneaked it. I know there was a bug in the camp that week, so, you know, I'd imagine Tyrone have a good bit of work done over this last couple of weeks since they lost Armagh, and they're going to be coming all guns blazing to Balbuffet on Saturday evening.
Dear. Roy, what's the feeling there? Remember this time last year, I would say it was probably Donegal's best performance of the season. You know, big buzz in Balbuffet, Ulster champions, and Tyrone came in. Donegal really, you know, protecting the second half, just, you know, took them apart. You know, I can't see that being the case this time around. It's going to be a lot closer. And Tony's mentioned, you know, Malachy Rourke in there as well. You know, the effect that he has everywhere he's went, particularly in the first year. There's only one thing that left to win now, and that's the Sam. But, you know, Tyrone, as Tony said there, be sitting now, they'll have eyed Donegal up again in terms of how they played in the Ulster final. And, you know, they'll be thinking, you know, this is a chance for a massive scalp.
Massively so. Obviously, over the years, when I was there myself, we haven't got over the line too many times in McCool Park, whether it's been league games, championship especially. So it's a very, very difficult place to go to. And I know they'll know that in their head, but I think going off the Armagh game, there's loads of positives to be taken from it. And like I say, if you were to break it down in regards to the both sides, Armagh, if you were to score all their players out of 10 in that game against Tyrone, you'd probably be sitting 7, 8, 9s maybe. And barring herself, like the Tyrone team, barring Darren McCurry, you wouldn't be scoring above 6. And you were thereabouts come the last 5 minutes, you know, probably should have done a wee bit better seeing it out and getting the result, you know, especially when they'd got it back to where it was. But, like, that's typical throw, man. You're going to back your own all the time anyway, and you boys are no different with Donegal. But, like, I think Throne's in a really good place. I think they've a really good side. Probably not unlike Donegal regards the depth in the squad. Like, Donegal's maybe a wee bit further on, especially after last year and won in Ulster, but, like, I still think they can be got it, and I still think the Tyrone have plenty there that will cause them trouble.
Do you agree with that, Tony, that, you know, you looked at there, particularly, as you said, Tony, there might have been a bit of a bug in the camp. The Canavans didn't have the best today. McCurry was unreal again, and they had Armagh where they wanted them, but this Tyrone team's maybe just starting to evolve a wee bit under Malachy Rourke, which makes them a much more dangerous proposition coming into this game.
Oh, definitely, Benny. I think they're a real dangerous proposition for us because of the calibre of forwards they have. And it's they're slightly different than, you know, than Armagh, because Armagh's more, you know, they rely on a lot of the physicality of their players, whereas Tyrone, you know, we know the two Canavan lads, how Darren McCurry, you know, Mark Bradley's back in. They're a different type of player. They're small, mobile, and sometimes that's a harder task from a defensive point of view, you know. But again, you know, defensively, we've been doing quite well. I think it's going to be very, very important, very, very important that we don't concede any goals on Saturday evening, because, you know, they're big scores in the game. You know, I think Tyrone are definitely going to come in from a better position than this time last year. It's the exact same fixture. We won the Ulster title last year, and Tyrone was our first game, and, you know, I thought that was probably one of Donegal's best performances last year. But I think Tyrone, as I said, are coming from a better position. You know, Malachy would have been happy with their performance against Armagh. They've got a couple of weeks. They have a couple of extra weeks to get ready for this, you know. And listen, we don't know the fallout, Benny, from the Ulster final. A lot of the lads went off with cramp and different wee niggles, you know. And it's this part of the competition is to basically try and get through the three games, you know. I would imagine Jim is a sight set on finishing top, because you get that extra week's break. And it's basically to try and get the job done as early as possible. Get get through without any injuries and then focus for the knockout stages. But, you know, we cannot look past this Tyrone team on Saturday. And you're just hoping, as a Donegal supporter, then that record that we have in McCool Park stands to us, because it is probably worth, you know, maybe 2-3 points to you, and hopefully that'll help us on Saturday get over the line.
Yeah, one of the few teams that have come there this last 15 years and beat Donegal though is Tyrone in Championship, and I'm sure you may have been about that day, Ronnie. Just on the Matty Donnelly missing, which was he's such an integral player. I mean, so much time for him as a footballer. Is he going to be back now? What's the word on the street on that? You know, Hampsey will be moving as well, your old partner in crime. Are Tyrone close to full strength?
From what I believe, they are. They were close to full strength their my game as well, but barring obviously the sickness bug that went through the team the week before it, which Matty was on the panel, but I believe that he wasn't... he wasn't well at all. So, like, hopefully the likes of himself and the likes of Petey, and I know Brian Kennedy had it, I know Kieran Daly had it. So there was boys playing that probably shouldered on, mightn't have been the wisest decision in hindsight, but at the same time, if you're giving your word, you're giving your word, and you're going to give everything that you have to try and get the right result. But, like, as I say, Hampsey will be back, all being well. Like, you wouldn't know where Myler's at. The only thing, like, to what Tony alluded to regards to the Canavans and that, like Michael Holmes, Sparky, Bradley, they're all, my only worry is the fact that they're all very alike as players. Whereas Big Cahill's away now, he stepped away from the panel. Like, I would always like the effect that you could throw him in and he sort of causes a bit of chaos regards to physicality and that, you know, so... They're losing that aspect of an option, but at the same time, I'm sure they could fire somebody else in, you know.
Ronan, were you surprised at that Cahill retiring? You know, he's at the age where, you know, I thought when Malachy comes in, you know, this was a chance for him to, you know, a new manager comes in, fresh look. And in terms of, as you said, because the three inside are all small stature guys, the way he's played it the last day, you've got the element of a possible kick pass or knockdown. I mean, you'd think with the Canavans or McCurry coming off him, he was a danger there. And particularly with Malachy's record for man management, it's very surprising that he stepped away. I know he had 10 points for his club on Rose the other evening, that's why he's certainly in the round it. But it was a bit of a strange one that he decided to walk away at this time.
Aye, especially whenever, like, it's so far down the season, regardless of probably been on the road since November, December, maybe January. So, like, season will be over in, like, 8 weeks, as long as it's going to be, 8 weeks. So, disappointing as a Tyrone fan, but at the same time, like, we're friends with Cahill, and like, you'd hate to see him be in bad form off the back of inning. And I know, like, you two boys have been about teams that are fighting for positions, every man's fighting, throwing everything they have at it. Like, and it can be a dark place whenever you're not getting your minutes and not getting game time. So you can see one side of it person, and then another side of it as a supporter. You can have a different view on it. You know, yeah.
Was he in the 26 against Armagh? Because what I heard just was that he wasn't named, and somebody says he was injured or sick or something, but then he denied that. So I don't know then, was that it for him?
I think he wasn't in the 26 now. But I do believe he was sick as well, along with five or six others. So
yeah.
But at the same here, as I say, you boys have been about panels and about situations like that before, and we've all been in it, and it's just, it can sort of sit on you heavy at times. And he made a call. Hopefully it's mentally for him, it's the right call. Would love to have seen him stay about, because, as I say, he's a different option. Like, from over the years of marking him, the man's, he do your head and you come up the road in good form and go back down the road in bad form because of him, and you're sharing a car with him. You don't want to chat to the man then, because he's pulled your pants down, you know. So it's disappointing, that aspect, but he always can bring something different, you know, regards to, like, he just causes chaos for a defender. And if you're if you've been running about after Rory Canavan or Darren McCurry or Dara Canavan for 50 minutes, the last thing you want to see is that man coming in for the last 20, you know, to cause absolute mayhem. So, but once again, the likes of Matty is there, can play inside. The likes of Petey can play inside, still good in the air, still physical. So just not the same sort of stature as Cahill would be, but I still think that we're in a good place. And if we do get Potty back in, it'll sort of shore things up a wee bit more defensively. But the aspect of McCool Park is going to play massively so, and hopefully Simon McDevitt doesn't run about wetting the floors down around it. So we'll get the shots wet.
Well, all the tricks will be tried. Tony, you mentioned not conceding goals. What about us the last day? We hit the back of the net, and so strange, Tony, because you would have thought their master squad was stronger than last year's. I know we were obviously with Murphy and Lexi Finbar rotating that in there, but certainly there was a big push on for places. There was 7 or 8 changes from the team the year before, but all those players were there. But it was Donegal who actually were in control of this game, and goals were to the fore in that. Isn't it great to see that element to it, Tony? Or was it strange in that game the way it can be wiped out almost with a 2-pointer? I think particularly, was it Murr's goal by a point down and 2 up, and then Armagh immediately kicked a 2-pointer, and it kind of takes away from that goal feeling that we used to get from it.
Yeah, absolutely, Benny. You know, listen, the new rules, first and foremost, the new rules have made it a lot more exciting. But I remember seeing it, you know, at the time, you know, doing the bit on the radio for the final. You know, if we were 7 points up, in the first half. You know, if that happened last year, that game's probably over. You know, you can close it out, you have 15 behind the ball and slow it down in that. Whereas, you know, we probably expended that much energy in that purple patch we had. And then all of a sudden, you know, you miss one kick, you don't get one kick out away. Armagh wanted get a score, get a 2-pointer, and all of a sudden you're back under pressure again. And you know, within 5-6 minutes, you know, the lead can be wiped out. You know, which makes it, listen, it's great, it makes it exciting. But unfortunately, you know, a 7-8 point lead now, even going into the last 5-10 minutes, the game's still very much alive, because two or three 2-pointers, and you know, you're back in the game, which makes it brilliant. You know, listen, we got the 2 goals, which were great. You know, probably Darryl Boyle had a chance, you know, maybe for one as well, the pass that he gave inside to Pather. But we got a bit of rub of the green against Armagh as well. You know, they had a couple of good goal chances and they didn't take, and you know, that proved important in the end up, you know. So I think it will be vital that we you know, that we don't give up any goal chances. I think Keelan McGonigal being back at number 6 is massive presence for us. You know, the word is Owen Bann has done the warm up and before the Ulster final, so he should be good to go. It'll be, you know, another body to come back in as well, you know. So because it does, you know, if you look at the substitutions that we made in the first half or the first part of the game, you know, that probably didn't work for us. Jamie Brennan, Aaron Doherty, Jason didn't really have an impact. And it was really the second batch of subs that came on, you know, Stephen McMenamin, Niall O'Donnell, Owen McHugh to a certain extent that actually made the difference. And that's what you're looking at now. Like it's going to take 20, 22 players to win games. And especially when you're going into a three match group over 4 weeks, you're going to need everyone, and everyone going well.
Definitely. Ron, I'm obviously, Morgan, bit of an off day the last day, you know, and again, he's coming into the cauldron where he's had mixed times in McCool Park, as you remember well. Ronan, what about your full back line? Does Hampsey need to be in there in terms of Clark, Teig and Devlin against Gallen, Murphy and McBertie, just for that kind of experience and that bit of physical power?
I don't think so. Honestly, I don't think so. Pete Teig, I would leave Pete Teig at fullback. Pete Teig's a really, really good footballer. Played fullback a lot of the time in his own football career with his club, and then through minors and under-21s we've thrown. And as a big physical man, probably slightly bigger than Potty, like would suit Murphy well in a wrestling match, and has the ability to put him on the back foot, carry a ball out, you know. Devlin and A.D. Clark, we went with Cormac Quinn again Armagh, but them boys are, there's like, Niall Devlin's sort of showed himself, put his hand up since the start of the year about put his hand up to go man marking, go toe to toe with players. He went toe to toe with Shane Walsh down in Tuam in the league and that, you know. So, like, we probably can get better defensively, maybe just as a unit, but I do think the right individuals are there, which on Potty's aspect will push him. I think Potty can offer us a lot out the field, regardless of maybe playing at six and maybe moving Rory Brennan to a wing or something, or even if they want to play him in the fullback, play him in the corner. But I would leave Pete Teague where he's at. But I think on Potty's side of things, loads of football ability and a real driving force going forward over the years. So I would try and get him further out the field. But say it's Malachy O'Rourke might have a different idea, but just get him back in, regardless of getting him back in. And when he came on against Armagh, he's only on the field maybe 30 seconds or a minute, and he had a massive turnover down onto the stand. You know, set a tone. So it's hard to come in as a defender and get up to a pace and of a game. It's easier nearly coming in as a forward, get your hands on the ball. But to get a big hit on as a defender straight away, just gets your blood up, gets the crowd up, and it sort of swung things in our favour going down the last 10 minutes of that Armagh game, you know. So, but as I say, just getting our best players on the field is going to be key.
That is the key, Tony. You kind of mentioned it there now, just about, you know, there's talk of Jason McGee having a small bit of a twinge and a few players going down with cramp. Of course, Keelan McGonigal, huge to be back, you know, the form of Gallen, particularly first half, and some of the energy that's put into that game, Tony. So imagine that now, and no more than Ronan saying there, having the likes of Keelan back, there's so many important players there, but there's certain integral players, you know, that injury free is almost the biggest thing. You look at Murphy's performance, you know, he was building to this, Tony, he just was immense on the day again. So there's a massive amount of pluses coming out of this, but it's all now just about keeping the squad fully fit.
Yeah, but as I said, you know, this is virtually a brand new competition where everyone starts on a level playing field, and it is going to be big. I suppose one of the disappointments from a supporter's point of view is, you know, Jason hasn't hit the form that he had last year, and obviously we know he had an operation earlier in the year, and worryingly, I did see him at the end of the match with an ice pack, looked like an ice pack on his calf, you know, but he's just not got a run of games. And you know, we all know how important he was last year to us. Mm. So it is vitally important that we get him back. We get him back as soon as possible. Again, you know, it was great to see Oisin had a great, great first half, and he seemed to struggle a wee bit in the second half with his calves as well, and had to come out of the game. You know, Paddy probably had one of his quieter games. So listen, there's probably room for improvement from some of our guys as well. From the Ulster final, there will be lads that would have been disappointed with their performance. You know, and listen, if you have a fully fit squad, you have great competition, you know, for that starting 15. But as we've seen, it's gonna not only be the starting 15. It's, you know, Niall Don having a bump into Niall last Friday evening in Letterkenny, and he was, you know, he thought his chance was gone on, you know, because of the five subs were made, and he was the seventh sub, I think, on and virtually won the game for us, you know. So hopefully that'll help Niall's confidence. I think you know, a fully fit Niall, confident and playing with confidence, to me, has to be in your starting 15. But listen, that's down to Jim. As I said, we'll wait to see the fallout. You know, have we picked up any knocks from the? And that's why I think the teams that have them extra couple of weeks are probably coming in with a slight advantage to the teams that played in provincial finals, and that sort of bore out over the weekend, because three out of the four were beaten. So I'm hoping, Benny, you know, that we don't have any injuries. The McCool factor comes into play, and we get over the line on Saturday night.
Good man. Tony, great stuff, lads. Thanks so much for wrapping it up. Tony, just think, when you're on about there, if Niall comes in, you've Darrell Boyle, you've Kieran Thompson, Shane O'Donnell. It's a difficult one now to get him into that six.
It absolutely is. Because, you know, that you're keeping three up and the other three are expected to get up and down the field. You know, would Niall be better as one of the guys inside, and does that put pressure on? Listen, we all know, you know, we'd have thought at the start of the year Michael doesn't start, or does he start, or does he come on, make an impact? Benny, we wouldn't have won that Ulster final without Michael Murphy being on the field for the length of time he's on. So it's a no-brainer that Michael has to start games. Yes. I would love to see him being fit to get a bit of a break, but I don't think we can let that happen yet anyway, you know. But listen, the healthy thing is, if you have a fit and confident nail it on, push it again into that first 15. I think that, that bodes well, whether it's from the start or whether it comes in making an impact. The more you know, players like Niall that we have to be fit to come off the bench, and even if it's coming off the bench, make an impact, you know, it's only going to be a benefit for the squad.
Yeah, 100%. Ronan, just last word to you, sir. I know me and Tony's going to be going with Donegal. Tell me, last year went to extra time, your guys obviously the extra time the game before, and certainly ran out of legs. But Ronan, there's going to be, I don't think there's going to be anything in this one. This is going to come down to tracks again. It's going to come down to them small moments, but maybe that McCool Park factor could be the difference then when it is coming down the tracks.
I do think it's a massive factor, has been over the years, but with the rule changes and to what Tony sort of spoke about earlier, I guess, you could, last 10 minutes, 8 points up isn't really a cushion anymore. Like, the game would have been dead last year if you're 4 or 5 up, but... With this new scoring system, and the likes of the caliber of players that's on the field, like any county team now, 90%, 95% of them players are capable of kicking 2-pointers anywhere, you know. So is the game ever dead now? Unlikely. So coming down to Saturday night, if it's coming down to the last 10 minutes, there's only a couple in it, we'll be very, very happy with guys coming into the last 10 minutes. To see it out, hopefully, in our favour. But, like, speaking of, like, friends of mine, especially yesterday, we were chatting about it, a lot of friends of mine from home, and the McCool Park is a massive factor, and I do think Donegal's a wee bit further on than where we are at the minute, but regardless of talent-wise, what we have in our squad, is there's definitely enough there to get a result and to cause Donegal plenty of problems, but... Saturday evening might tell a different story.
It might indeed, Ronan. Listen, first class. Ronan McNamee and Tony Boyd, thanks so much. We'll all be there Saturday evening in the white heat of battle. We'll be on the pitch at McCool Park as Donegal hosts Tyrone in the opening game of the All-Ireland Series. Lads, thanks for that wrap-up. Much appreciated. Yeah, two top lads there wrapping up the weekend's action. Of course, looking forward to this big game in Ballybofey. Now, as I say at the top of the show, Donegal hurlers had a brilliant finish to the end of their Christy Ring campaign, making history, being in the Christy Ring for the first time, and the big deal was to stay in the competition and keep growing from there, and they certainly did that. I'd say Liam McKinney with a magical 16 points, and after the game, Kieran Cannon caught up with their manager, Mickey McCann.
Very pleasing performance. I suppose it's sort of been an up and down season, frustrating at times, you know, but... We set ourselves that meets a team that we hadn't beat yet, you know, and they've got the number over us this last 3 or 4 times. So we just wanted to go out and try set that straight, you know, and take a victory over them. And look, they had a slight chance of qualifying in the first half, and we had a slight breeze behind us. But really, really, the difference was today, you know, our forwards up front, like 18 points and a half of Hurling is great shooting, and we've been getting them chances all matches, but you know, we just haven't been converting them today. Like the Liam McKinney's and them, and Kevin Keeley, and boys like that turned up, you know, and the scoreboard was taken over every minute or two. So, very pleasing performance.
In terms of personnel, Mickey, we've seen Kevin Keeley got a red card in the second half of that encounter. I'm sure you had one or two other lads injured as well. And what was your view? Had you a good view of the sending off, and what was your opinion on it?
I had a very good view. I suppose it was a very physical game, you know, and we were on top in the second half, and Meath were getting very, very frustrated, you know, and we were closing the game out, and Donegal fouled one of the Meath lads, and the Meath lad got up and reacted, you know, and Kevin came in as a second man, got involved, and didn't think there was a wild lot on it. Possibly maybe there was a touch of the helmet or something. I can only see that have been the reason, because there was no punches through or not. So possibly a touch of the helmet or something, you know, when the referee was told to the linesman, and Kevin had a walk. And look, he's a big loss, but look, there was only 5 or 6 minutes left in the game, and we've seen it out, and they got a second yellow out of it as well, so it was evened up at 14 each, you know.
Mickey, this is your first year back at Christy Ring Cup action. How satisfied are you to secure the same status playing Christy Ring Hurling next season?
Look, it's satisfying to secure it, you know, but I suppose our ambitions were to even go get further in the competition, you know, and if you look at it, we lost by a point to Wicklow at home, you know, and we were winning against Derry and threw that lead away. So I think it's fine margins. I do think Derry were slightly better than us now, but Wicklow was a result we definitely should have got, you know, and that would have put us up coming up here today, maybe pushing to get into the final. But it wasn't to be. I'd say a couple of frustrating results. We've been pure in front of the post, not converting the chances, and we just made away with that at this level. But look, it's their first year, as I say, that's the first two victories ever in Christy Ring Hurling. So you take that and you build on it and you get a lot of learnings from it and move on to the next year, you know, and see if you can go one better, you know.
In terms of milestones, Sean McVeigh, an experienced hurler, what a milestone for him, a number which go 150 appearances at Intercounty Hurling.
Yeah, some appearances, and Sean actually picked up an injury on Tuesday night, you know, a bad injury too, you know, he could be out for a few months. So very disappointing. I'd love him to be involved in that match because he thoroughly would have enjoyed it, you know. So, but as you say, some very committed lads about us. 150 appearances, some going for Donegal Hurling, and it'd have been nice to be part of it today, but it wasn't to be, you know, he just picked up that injury.
Finally, Mickey, before I let you go, I know you'll be, is it fair for me to say, looking forward now to the club action, plenty of club action. I'm sure you're looking forward to getting out and about and seeing the standard of hurling within the county.
Yeah, and we just talked about that too, you know, it'll be very competitive competition this year, you know, like there's three teams pushing very, very strongly and there's not much in it, and I think they all know that. But, you know, as long as they get out there and be honest and give it a shift and respect one another, and may the best team want it, but look, I'll be enjoying sitting back watching it, you know, and see what talent's out there. And if you take it today, Russell Ford and the likes of wee John Keeley coming off the bench, you know, for their debuts and come on scoring a point each. So that's what it's all about, is trying to breed them one or two players, and Donald Farley and Kieran Porter and them that we brought on board this year. And that's what it's all about. And you get a real look at them now in the club championship, you know.
Yeah, that was hurling boss Mickey McCann there chatting with Kieran Cannon. Well done to him and his squad on another successful season. But now, as I said from the top of the show, I'm going to catch up with Killy Beggs native Joe McBertie. Joe, you on the line there?
Yeah, I'm there. Cheers, Brendan. Thank you.
Joe, how are you? Joe, listen, I know you for years. You've some life in the GAA coaching and management and all. But Joe, just before we get into it, you had a bit of a health battle recently after a cancer diagnosis. How are you doing now?
Yeah, I'm doing well now, thank God. You know, obviously at the time, late December 22 into early January 23, obviously it was worrying time and getting obviously the shock of it and more than anything else coming up to Christmas. And, you know, thankfully I was able to come, and I said from day one that I would let people know more than hide it, and, you know, get myself down. I said I'm going to be open about it and let people, you know, that I'm going to treat it as best I can and fight it. And, you know, obviously with, you know, all the connections through the GA, etc., and, you know, the support, etc., was amazing, both from the people at home in Killybegs and all the GA people, etc., and Donegal, especially, and other counties as well, people have got to know. So the support was amazing, which gave me another bit of guided strength to try and beat it. And obviously then, you know, here in Dublin, you know, my partner Maura and my son Fakra, and obviously their family, because we were living in their house at the time until we got our own place in the last year. But obviously Maura, you know, and Fakra looked after me so well. And, you know, it was tough for Maura too, having to go to work and then back to Fakra after school and then come in and see me. And but it was for the likes of them, and especially obviously them and my own family at home and my auntie and uncle and that, you know, I wouldn't have had the strength other than that there. But I just, thankfully, I got through it. It wasn't easy, but I think, you know, I've been lucky in the prayers of everyone to this day as well that gave me that strength to beat it. And, you know, I've seen cases, obviously, in Beaumont at the time, and obviously the staff at Beaumont, really, I couldn't thank them enough for all their work and their care towards me. But I've seen people that really, you know, that I was one of the lucky ones that I was able to fight it and come through it with flying colours, touch wood at present, you know.
But Joe, you know what, I'm not surprised you had a lot of goodwill out there, because you're very well got everywhere you've went, Joe, and you have been all over Ireland doing so much in terms of sport. And it's great that you know, some of that feedback comes back to you when you were in that battle. It's great to hear that you're on the up and up, Joe. But, you know, but where it all started, of course, in Killybegs, you know, football and hotbed that it was growing up. There was only one way in your life. You're going to be involved in the GA some way. And, you know, that's where it all began for you, Joe, in terms of just your love of the sport.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, and, you know, I suppose when I was born, I spent my first 10 months in Crumlin Hospital because I had no sight in my left eye and I had 2/3 of my brain removed. So I knew as the years were going on that my playing days would have been short, obviously due to the sight problem more than anything else. And that, and my, you know, being light and because of my, you know, my bowel removal thing. So I just, obviously then Killy Beggs in the late 80s, early 90s, you know, was probably the hotbed for club football in Donegal. And growing up and seeing the success that they were going through and the underage teams as well. And obviously my father's love for sport, you know, and mum's a Fermanagh woman. So, you know, there was a wee bit of an incentive that I wanted to be involved in sport. And then obviously dad's sister and her husband, you know, and their children. I just, the love for the GAA grew and being up in Fintry every evening and seeing the boys training and them going on to winning championships and that. So I just got the love of and wanting to get involved in coaching. And lucky enough then, I couldn't get out as such. And it took over my life.
Yes.
It took over my life more than anything else. Like, yeah. I wouldn't have been a fond lover of school. And I even repeated the leave. And I remember going in and asking the principal at the time, you know, I think I'll come back. And he said, well, I'll give you one bit of advice, Joe. If you're going to repeat the leave, you better give up the football. And I just looked at him and I said, well, I don't think that's going to happen.
It was one way or the other. Joe, what was life like then? Because we know obviously where coaching has got, and now you're kind of overseeing coaching in areas up there in Dublin and Meath. But at that starting point, was coaching badges a thing, or did that all just start to come in around those times? Or how did...
When I first got involved, you know, I wasn't aware of any coaching courses as such. It was just going off your own bat, you know, and what you've learned from watching, you know, the training going on in Fintry, et cetera. And maybe the odd time the county team would appear in Fintry, you'd be up and watching them training and just trying to pick up wee nuggets yourself and that. And, you know, going to watch the county team playing in the National League, et cetera. And, you know, just seeing things and then trying. And then eventually, you know, when I got more into the late teen years, the first foundation course, I remember going to do it, and actually the first award one I actually done was in O'Donnell Park, and I was only 17 going 18 at the time, so that would have been the start of it. And then obviously then getting involved with the development squads and that, and then I was pushed to go and try and do, you know, the tutor side of it, which I done up in Cookstown with a couple of us, and that would have been the start of how I would have got involved in coaching courses, etc, you know.
And like you ended up, you know, coaching, like obviously the couple of very successful years with Niamh Connell. He also managed our under-21s and coached me at Donegal level under Brian McNiff before you moved to Dublin, Joe. So, listen, you know, you were, that's the pinnacle, I suppose, of any GAA player, is to coach a county. You know, a massive, massive thing and a massive achievement for you as well.
Yeah, naturally, like, as I said, you know, after leaving Killy Beggs, you know, after a number of years involved with underage teams, which were very successful, you know, at the time as well. And then I was lucky enough, I was given the opportunity to go down and coach in Glanties. You know, it was supposed to be a one-off situation, but I think the boys obviously liked the training and they were quite happy, the management team, to bring me back, you know. And then it ended up being a one-year stint, and then lucky enough, we were successful in the league and championship. And the second year as well, the same. And obviously a lot of that team went on to be very successful at senior level in Donegal. And then, surprisingly, I got the phone call to come into the senior county team as a coach. And, you know, the more I look back at it, which is obviously 21 years ago, obviously it was an opportunity I couldn't say no to, but it was a daunting experience, you know, going in. And, you know, at the start, I was very nervous. And obviously being as young as some of the players and some of the players older than me, I learned a lot from it, you know, at the time. And I have to say a number of the players were very helpful to me because they knew I was young. Obviously, coming from an underage background into a senior county team was, you know, daunting at the time. And instead of to look back, if it was to turn the clock back, I'd probably take a step back and think more about it. But I learned so much from that year with the team and the management, especially, you know, and as I said, the number of players that were very helpful to me and telling me what I could be doing or what we could be doing more of. And I really appreciate the work that some of the players that came to me outside of the training sessions and said, Joe, look, how do you think it's going? Do you want to do this? Should we do that? And I learned a lot from it. You know, as I said, it was 21 years ago. Obviously, in any role of any capacity, you always want to say to yourself, how can I be better? Because if I can get better, obviously the players and the trainings are going to be better. And I would obviously feel a lot stronger now if given the opportunity ever again, that I'd be more confident in my own ability.
Mm. Certainly, definitely. Listen, Joe, it's some tale, Joe, because already the challenges that you had to come through and just your love of the game was the energy that you carried into it, and that's why you've done so well, and all those teams have done well. And when you headed to Dublin then, you know, DCU, you were involved with St Margaret's, St Peregrine's, Retove. This is, you've done so much now in and around Dublin, coaching and managing, Joe, and again, huge experiences for you, but again, success and some great times, some great experiences.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it was, you know, the opportunity is obviously making the decision to come to Dublin, obviously, with my partner Maura, and then obviously the arrival of Fekra, you know, and obviously my love of coaching. I was trying to figure out how could I get involved in Dublin, and I was lucky enough to get the break to get into DCU. Obviously, I started with the fresher teams, and even like not just having the enjoyment of coaching the teams, but meeting all the players from different counties, and then obviously getting the opportunity to move up into the Sigerson team. And like to this day, the majority of them players are still in contact with me regular, and the management, you know, and the people in DC that brought me there, number one, which I have to be so grateful for. And then obviously then I got the role through DCU with St Margaret's. So I would have went to St Margaret's first to the GPO, covering the schools and the, you know, the underage teams. And then the second year then the vacancy of the senior manager came, and they asked me would I be interested in doing it. So obviously I did, and I enjoyed it the 2-3 years I was there. And then I ended up going to Fingal Ravens as senior manager at the start as the number one role. And then the minor manager then took me in, and we had a very successful year with the minor team. Unfortunately, we lost the county final after extra time. But like just the experience and learning from clubs in Dublin, obviously, because I went into these clubs and into these not knowing anyone as such. So obviously on my side, it was a harder experience trying to get to know, and then all the different names, etc. Obviously at home, you know, people are at other clubs, you know, from going to watch them. So it took, you know, it was a learning experience in itself. And then obviously moved to Peregrine's, which was right beside where we were living in Maura's parents' house. And again, you know, couldn't say enough for any of the clubs I've been with, you know, until I went to, obviously I'm in Retove now helping out. But all these clubs in Dublin, like, and there's so many different people from different parts of the country as such, and getting to know them and, you know, obviously getting the respect from them based on what I can give as a coach. So I'm so thankful for all of them and what they've done for me as well. When I got the illness, you know, what some of the clubs have done and the people, as I said, in Donegal as well, but what some of the people done, the support and kindness towards me, I don't know how I could say thanks or even repay them in any way, because it's massive, the support I've got from everyone, and both in Killybegs, Donegal, and the clubs around here in Dublin.
From knowing you, I just know it's reciprocal and well deserved. And listen, when we're in times of need, that's when people rally around you, and that certainly, I think, was well deserved. Joe, you mentioned you're coaching and managing there. When you were managing, were you still coaching as well? Did you find there was is there a break between the two, or are they really kind of the same thing?
When I went to St Margaret's, first of all, obviously I would have been in the schools during the day and then out with the underage teams in the evening, and then obviously then when I took up the senior role. So it was hard going, I have to say, but like as you said already, you know, my love for the sport, etc. Like people say, Joe, how can you keep going? But to me, it was like, it didn't really matter to me. The more I spent out in the pitch training, should it be the under 8s or the under 15s, etc., or the seniors, I was at my happiest. Mm. You know, so it wasn't a challenge. Much as it might have been tiring as such, you know, I didn't find it a thing that was going to cause me any hassle. I loved being out no matter what team, even though it was strange being in the national school, you know, till 2:30, just coming home for an hour or two, then back out training another underage team and then into training the senior team. But I think it's just when you have the love of the sport, it doesn't really affect you because you want to be there and you want to try and improve the players that you're working with. Mm. Obviously, the teams then will improve.
Yeah, would it be a thing there, Joe, that the energy from the coaching, that there is a tiredness that's coming, but once you're in a group of players like that and you're calling the shots or you're setting up the training, there's a kind of, there's an energy give and take from that, from the group, which probably lifted you in, because you're kind of doing something you love, and even though it was tiring in the background, once you're kind of tuned into that there, it kind of carries you along, you know, you kind of get the buzz for it.
Yeah, definitely. The buzz for it was, that's what mainly kept you going, like from day to day. I've probably learned over the years in terms of taking up the role of coaching underage and then being a manager in the senior team. It's something that I probably wouldn't do again, but obviously now I find after the illness that, you know, I don't have the same energy levels for if I was to do it again. I think it would really affect my, you know, the energy because of the illness. You know, just the tiredness hits in a lot quicker. And I think I would probably, you know, taking on too much as such, wearing myself down, like, you know, coaching during the day of the underage, not then going into senior team. And obviously, and again, it's a learning curve. Being a senior manager, like, you're probably better having somebody else coming in with you to take the trainings, that you have more time to, you know, deal with the ins and outs of the, you know, managing players and getting fellas started from college, etc. And whereas I was at the time, I would have been doing nearly all of it myself. I don't know, is that a selfish thing, or that I thought maybe I wasn't prepared to let other people come in? And, you know, so I would have learned that if I ever go back as a senior manager in any club anywhere, that I would definitely would look to, you know, maybe if I am the manager, that I'm just the manager, I'm not the coach, etc. Because it is taxing on the body. Like, and obviously I don't have the same energy anymore for doing all the roles as such. But I did have some excellent assistants in these clubs that, you know, they've been so good to me even since I finished up coaching in their clubs. They still, like, I hear from the majority of them nearly once a week, every week, you know.
I know what you mean. You know, that delegation thing, I think when you're building up towards something, yeah, there's a bit of fear of someone coming in that maybe goes against what you're doing. And even though it's a bit of a graft, to be in complete control of it is something I suppose you're trying to build your own way in the game. But then, as you said, that can be very taxing on you. But there is that thing then about, listen, I have my ideas on what I'm doing here, and I know what I'm doing, and it works. So you stick to it.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe I find that, you know, obviously, like, as you said, and anyone would know, I try to, like, I'd be more of a player's person than, you know, trying to be cracking the whip, et cetera. I like the players to enjoy the trainings, have fun, a bit of crack, et cetera, that we're not all just, you know, win at all costs and there's no fun involved in the thing, where I'd be more of, you know, having a crack with the players and, you know, being out with them, etc. And whereas the role now, obviously the role I'm doing in Rathoath, since I've gone, I'm not managing any teams, so I just go out and I'm kind of co-coaching with the coaches. So the various teams have their sessions and I know they're on, and I come in and, like, I watch them, or I can analyse what could we do better in terms of, you know, the coaching. So I kind of step in a session to help out, see can the coaches pick up and how I kind of do different games, drills, and my language towards the training in terms of what you should be saying to the players, instead of which, like, I would love to have had that opportunity when I was younger, growing up as a coach, if I had somebody like a mentor as such. And that's why, like, my role in Rathoath, and again, Rathoath Club have been so good to me since I've got involved with them. And it's an amazing club as well, and the people out there have been excellent, and they've welcomed me in terms of that role. That, because I know you could go into that and some of the coaches might say, oh, what does he know, where's he from, you know, they're not prepared to listen to me, whereas out in Rathoath, every team and the mentors, etc., they can't, like, the phone just never stops them asking for ideas, or what could we do, do this, can we do that, like, you know. And I'm really enjoying it out there, because it's totally different to what I've kind of been used to. And they've been so good to me and so welcoming. And it's, you know, it's an easy role to have when the people want you to be there, like, you know.
So it's the right role at the right time. Joe, in all that then with the new rules, has there been a huge reset, you know, because there has to be different drills, different ways of looking at the game now in terms of this huge change in our match. So no wonder there's a lot of people pulling on you to say ideas, because everyone's scrambling to get the right drills in place now to get their team ready for what is the big change in our game.
Yeah, like in terms of setting up for trainings and that, obviously there's a slight variation into it, but there's still the core principles are still there. Like, just get, you know, obviously at underage, it's skills, you know, developing the players that, you know, obviously we're trying a lot is using both sides of the body, right hand, right foot, left hand. And that if you get the core skills in there into all the players, you still should be fit to develop the team in terms of how you set up with the three up front, etc. And obviously there is different games that we can play and develop to doing that, you know, but I don't find a big change in the training. Because we, even before the rules came in, we would have been doing similar kind of games that we were leaving three up. So to me, the training hasn't changed a lot. You'd be more inclined working on the discipline rules more than anything else. You know, hand the ball back, etc. And, you know, no speaking out from the sideline. That's the more difficult part, I would find, in terms of the new rules.
Mind your manners, says you. Joe, what about, is there ever a thought to come back to Donegal to do a bit of coaching at some stage, even with the homeboys in Killybegs, or are you happy enough up around the capital in Ratoath at the minute?
Naturally, like, obviously, your home where you come from, you know, it will always be your home, and to me that's never going to change. And, you know, if things was to work out, obviously you'd love to say that I would be coming home, or would like to come home, and obviously your home club, that would be your first port of call, and especially after everything they've done for me over the last 2 years as well. You know, I was up there 2 weeks ago and done a workshop for the coaches and that, and, you know, that day when I was working with the two teams and the coaches, you felt as if you've never left, you know, because it was just, it's a routine that you got into before. And obviously I'd love to be able to say that, you know, further down the line that I could be back coaching one of the teams in Killybegs or any of the clubs that have been with in Donegal, which there have been a number of them. And, you know, I have nothing but good words to say about the clubs that I've been involved with in Donegal and the people within them clubs, and obviously the county squads as well that have been involved with the underage and the senior. Like, I don't have a bad word to say about anyone in Donegal in terms of what they've done for me, more so in the last 2 years especially. Like, you know, I'd love to be given the opportunity, or be able to give the opportunity to give back for what they've done for me again, you know.
Yeah, well, certainly, Joe, whoever, if you did come back, they'd be lucky to get you. And Joe, absolutely brilliant story. You've had some life in football, and there's plenty more to come yet.
Oh, please God, Brenton. Yeah.
I listen, fantastic. Joe, great to talk, and we'll catch up, no doubt. We might have a wee date in Croke Park, or I'll see you up around as the season goes on. Let's hope so.
Yeah, please God, Brendan. Hopefully it'll not be too long that Donegal will be in Croke Park, and we'll be in, and obviously we can catch up. And if you're ever in Dublin, as I said to you before, you have my number and you're more than welcome anytime.
100%.
And thanks for having me on.
Not at all, Joe. It's a pleasure having you on. Thanks so much. Top man, Joe McBurdy there, Killybegs man, of course, up in coaching Ratoath at the minute, living in Dublin. And what a story he has with him. Great to catch up with him. And that concludes the show for this evening. I want to thank Kenneth for producing, my guests Tony and Ronan, who were on earlier, of course, head of sport, Oisín Kelly. We will speak to you all next week, and let's see the outcome of this massive game, Tyrone and Donegal and Balbuffet, Saturday evening. We'll be on Monday evening to recap all the big talking points. I'll speak to you all then. Check this.